Hi, I'm Roger Montgomery, author of the investing bestseller, Valuable. If you want to generate excellent stock market returns for yourself, read my guidebook on how to buy the best stocks for less than they're worth. To order Valuable now, head to rogermontgomery.com/book or click on any of the banner ads at the Money News homepage.
Let's start the program and talk about, in particular, the banks, where they go to next. Have they done enough right now to satisfy all of the regulators and indeed some of these changes that might come as a result of the financial system inquiry? One of the leading bank analysts in this country, who's been doing it for years and years, is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, and he's on the line. Many thanks for your time, Martin.
Hello, Ross. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Just having a look at the bank's capital position, because this is what has prompted the banks to raise interest rates and also raise, between them, almost $18 billion worth of capital over the past few months. Have they done enough?
The answer is that nobody really quite knows, because this is not a single step. We're on an escalator. We're on an escalator to significantly higher capital. Where that journey ends, and it's going to be probably a couple of years before we know, means that we actually don't know what the right amount of capital is, but expect capital to be in scarce demand and more demand, and expect the banks to have to hold more going forward.
The other interesting thing is we had David Murray on the program the other night, and also the Treasurer, Scott Morrison. Now, both of them indicated that they want the banks to be among the top 25% of banks around the world when it came to this Tier 1 capital. Now, they're close, but they're not there yet. And the truth is also that even the central banks around the world, the regulators around the world, might raise the capital requirements on international banks further. So therefore, the Australian banks would have to stretch even further and may be required to not only hold more capital, but put interest rates up even further. That's the scenario, isn't it?
Well, that's right, because essentially we're all chasing our tails at the moment around the world. The regulators are requiring the banks to hold more capital, and that journey is going to continue. Interestingly, you're right. The banks in Australia, although they're strong, are not actually in that top 25% bracket. And on other measures, they're actually only about mid-tier. So we are actually in a situation where, to look at on an international basis, there's quite a lot of work to be done over a long period of time. And you're right, that will translate into higher interest rates.
So how does this equate, given the fact that the leading credit ratings agencies in the world, Moody's and Standard & Poor's, both give our banks the highest possible credit rating of any banks around the world, AA+. How is it that we can reconcile on one side that our banks need more capital, yet on the other side they're considered to be the safest in the world?
Well, it's partly context, right? So many of the banks in the Northern Hemisphere got taken to the cleaners in the GFC, and therefore are in the process of rebuilding their reserves from much lower levels than the banks in Australia. We didn't have the same problems down here. In fact, the banks in Australia had two things going for them. Firstly, they didn't have such intense competition as overseas, so therefore the margins are intrinsically higher. And secondly, we didn't have our own version of the GFC, or we haven't up to this point, and therefore from an economic perspective, there was more security here than overseas. But some would argue that perhaps some of those things are beginning to change now, and we're beginning to see some strength up in the Northern Hemisphere, and some are beginning to think about what does that mean for the local banks here and the relativity in terms of the credit quality here and overseas.
Okay, so this is the relativities between the two. It's one of the reasons why the Australian dollar has fallen. But when it comes to a bank shareholder or a bank customer, the one thing that a lot of bank customers will be asked now is, why am I paying? It's the shareholder, surely, who's taking the risk and should make the bank strong, because they're the ones who get rewarded when the profits come through the door. Why am I, the customer, having to pay?
Well, it's quite interesting. If you look at the banks, around 5% of the capital in the banks come from the shareholders. The rest of it comes from depositors and from borrowing on the international capital markets. So we already have massive leverage in our banking system. And because we have high leverage and we have essentially relatively generous margins, shareholders have done very well over a long period of time. Now, the question is, what is the right balance between returns to shareholders and the prices that people are paying for their loans and indeed receiving on their deposits? And I think the settings we have in Australia at the moment are such that essentially shareholders are doing better than people with mortgages or people with deposits. And that's the way that the banking system has developed here, because really competition, although there is some competition between players, they're all playing by the same tune, they're all pricing the same way, and there really is very little genuine competition in my mind, which means that essentially overall people are probably paying more than they should, the banks are less efficient than they should be, and shareholders are getting better returns than perhaps they should.
Okay, so then we come to the final aspect of this, because we've seen many smaller lenders cutting rates. I mean, some of them are in variable rates, still in the threes. There are certainly fixed rate loans, even as far out as 3 years, they're still in the threes. It means that those smaller banking alternatives are really viable right now?
Well, certainly the smaller banks are looking more likely to be able to compete on a more level playing field. But remember that they still have to pay more for the funds that they get, and they also don't have as generous capital allocations as the Big Four do. You know, the Big Four are roughly sort of 17 moving up to 25. Most of the big guys are 37 to 50. So they're still having to pay quite a lot more. And the question will be whether some of the smaller organisations effectively also lift their rates, or whether they essentially use this differential that they've got at the moment to try and regain share and therefore squeeze the majors.
Tell you what, it's going to be interesting to watch it. There is no doubt. I think they'll probably squeeze for a while, but eventually they'll come under the same capital pressures as all of the big banks will as well. Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the best bank analysts in this country over a very long period of time, and very good with his time here on Money News Tonight. Many thanks, Martin.
Thanks. Cheers.
Hi, it's Roger Montgomery again, the author of the investing bestseller, Valuable. To generate excellent stock market returns for yourself, there's only a few things you need to know. And you'll find those in my guidebook on how to buy the best stocks for less than they're worth. To order Valuable now, head to rogermontgomery.com/book or click on any of the banner ads at the Money News homepage.